We were saying.
Turn my mic down, bitches. So didn't.
Hey, pals, buzz, and lovelies. Welcome back to Moaning and Musing with
Megan
and Hannah. Ooh. Does it look different? Do we look different?
Can you believe we're back?
I bet you couldn't believe we're back. I bet you thought we were donezo with this podcast.
I really do bet y'all thought that.
Yeah,
and
I know.
You thought wrong.
Wrongo.
Oh my God. Yeah,
that was
really
crisp
cool.
as fuck, and that wasn't planned.
Can you tell you've been spending a lot of time together?
I totally got distracted looking at your dogs.
Well,
you left them out. I'm going to look at them.
All right. Anyway.
How's everybody doing? It's been so long. We
Nothing
even recorded a Christmas
happened.
Episode and it never aired because.
I might do a little something with it at the end. But if you don't see shit,
you don't
mind
see
your business.
Shit. Deal with it. I don't care.
Because you all know.
Like, I don't care.
We didn't do the episode. We didn't do an episode for like a month. So you know we've been going through it.
I just feel like, Like honestly, read into it. Read between the lines.
Read into that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
like cold. A lot of things were like nothing political has happened. Actually, nothing. It's actually been a deeply uneventful time, and I'm very thankful for that. Truly,
what a country to live in that we don't have to like stress about stuff like that. Do you know what
and
I mean?
We just have healthcare immediately available.
Yeah,
they love
like
trans
easily.
People.
Yeah,
Black people are really like just completely treated the same as white people.
Yeah, the equality across the board with every color of person there ever is or identify like how they identify. Like truly, it's
yes.
That's like
and I as a woman. Love.
Yeah. Just being a woman in this world type thing. Yeah. It's like, wow. You know?
Anyway, the jig is up. So we're actually here to talk about our goals for the new year.
Yes.
We thought that would be a very nice, sweet thing to talk about and a little bit of a wrap on what we were mooning and musing about for the past 2024, even though you guys were with us actually for most of it. Isn't that crazy? We started this in May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We started it in May, but we like... Us two worked on it in February.
Yeah, it's been almost... We started on Valentine's Day, breaking everything down. As we should. Of course we did.
Yeah.
Of course we did. February 13th, Valentine's Day. We should probably do... We should do a special for that.
We should.
Talk about girlhood.
Or we should just take time for ourselves. We'll see. We'll see.
Not on the day.
Okay. I was like, I kind of like,
y'all
I kind of just want to relax.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, Valentine's Day is actually a big holiday for us, so... Yeah.
Big deal. I got a speeding ticket on Valentine's Day last year. And that means
I forgot about
starting
that.
February 13th, I can start speeding again real hard because I can use traffic school
Black
again.
Black ice what?
I'm a smarty pants, okay? The black ice is not going to get me.
The black ice swerves out of Megan's way.
All right. Let's get into it.
Let's get started.
Walt. I'm trying to think how to word this.
Megan, what have you been mooning and musing about?
Me first.
Beat you to it. You're on the right
guys,
side of the
I got a new diary
the
for
couch.
The new year. You guys want a diary tour real quick? Broski report sticker on the front.
Of course.
And then I got Girl Gang and I Stand With Planned Parenthood on the back. I'm actually really excited about this diary, so I am actually just going to...
It is a pretty sexy diary. And I like how thick it is. Oh, I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, I put some sick-ass little... Like, I have these tarot card stickers and I got the star and I have a friend. Emily Paul told me to put them on because it's a scorpion and I'm a Scorpio. And demune. So, tarot girlies, let me know what that means.
Very demune. Nice.
All right. So, what have I been musing and musing about? Let that one slide, y'all. Let that one slide.
Whatever are you talking about?
What did I say? Mooning and boozing?
You said, I thought you said moozing. I didn't even hear the moaning. We'll see. When,
my nose
we'll
is
see.
Drooping because it's cold. Oh my God. Anyway.
No tissues, radially.
Yeah,
speak.
So
you
I think there is something powerful. Like, so time isn't real. Like, If you've got critical thought, you've thought about that. But like we give power to things as a culture all the time. And we've really made like we've put a lot of power in a new year. And I don't like the idea of a resolution because you can't.
My
first
goals,
of all,
I actually am excited to talk about mine, too, like because mine I barely wrote anything. No joke, because it seems like such a heavy like task to do that for a year. Like, that seems like you're putting so much on your shoulder. Even if it's like a resolution, it's like, be gentle with yourself, bro. Like, you know yourself better than anybody else. So, like, approach it in the way that would work for you type thing. Like,
I also appreciate like a vagueness to it and giving yourself grace. Because if you're like, I'm going to start going to the gym every weekday, you're setting yourself up for failure because it's so hard to create a new habit like that.
Why are you going to the gym? What's your purpose? What's your reason? Is it strong enough? Like, because it's not going to last if it's not meaningful to you for real. If you're just doing it for this one reason because this person made you feel this way about this one time, then you're ridiculous.
I also feel like, not to go on a tangent, but that's what we do here. The actual gym is not for everybody. Like, I feel like we've kind of put that as like a blanket thing where like you go in there and you like walk on a treadmill. Like,
the only reason
some people need to like
is
dance
because of the cold
or like
weather.
Have a reason, like that kind of stuff.
I feel, yeah.
Like something. Not everyone can go in there and just lift weights. Like, some people need to, you know what I'm saying.
I do want to build muscle type stuff, but, like.
But anyway, yeah, that's what I was going to say is, like, I take the new year as, instead of, like, trying to change everything about myself and my habits and my behavior, as a time to, like, reflect on the past year, what served me, what do I want to take into the new year.
What can I do differently?
Yeah. Like, what, like, not regrets, because, like, regrets are pointless, but like what
look back on those times that you feel weird about, I'd say
what I would like to do differently.
What would I have done differently? So for me,
I have been trying to think really hard about like being more intentional with my thoughts and my energies.
I like that.
Sarah Schauer, I don't know if you guys know about her. If you're like a podcast person like me, you guys should know who these people are. But she does like she talks a lot on her page about like centering and decentering. So I was trying to think about that kind of stuff. And I want to be a lot more intentional with like what thoughts I let my brain have. Because I let my brain just go a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really intervene a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Especially when I get into like a zone of depression or like downness, which I always do like mid-November. That's the hardest part of the year for me, is like mid-November to like honestly until February is over.
Yeah, and like that's pushing it, because like February, like it honestly goes into March sometimes with like, and I'm not even just speaking for
March
you, like
feels
I'm thinking,
so much more hopeful to me because it's like it's gonna be an upswing now at
the
least.
The weather really matters to me with stuff like that, and like March has been
cold,
chilly.
It's 6 degrees outside right now for us.
Yeah, bro. My hands are cold while we do this. Yeah. Like, I have some good socks on. My dogs are pretty cold.
Yeah, the dogs are barking. You know what I'm saying?
Did you all see that?
I hope not.
Teasing with the dogs. I like
There's
it.
There's some fucking freaks out there, too. So I'm like, get away. Stop. But anyway, like, yeah, centering and decentering is such a, like, so important to be intentional with, because your brain, I've been trying to tell people this forever, your brain is your whole fucking shit. Like, you don't have to internalize or like anything. You can live in a state of delusion forever if you want to, and you know what, okay. It works for me like really well when I let myself do it. Like, if I try to center myself in reality too much and like overthink the way that people are perceiving me too much,
be a little sick
of it. It freaks me out. Yeah. So I just decide how they're perceiving me and move the fuck on. Yeah. Because I can do that. Your brain can do that. You can just decide you don't care.
And then it gets a lot easier when you go like, and you're like, you're like, no, I'm not going to worry about that. So, yeah.
So my number one thing with decentering was yearning. Decentering, yearning. I think, and I know I've talked about this ad nauseum on this podcast, I'm tired of fucking hearing myself talk about it, but it's also like a common experience. Like, so many people our age are worried about like romantic attachments. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, I don't know how to talk to people about not that. And it's not even me bringing it up. Well, like, if Megan, people find out you're single, they have a lot of questions about that, and they don't know how to interact with you anymore because everyone's just complaining about their partners all the time.
Yeah.
So yes. It's like, and complaining too. Why is it always complaining? Guys, yeah. Leave. Break up. Anyway.
Choking a little bit on my spit.
I think it's just because I have a lot of love to give, and I like know I deserve to have it, but I'm just not in a position right now to give anyone the type of energy that like they would need in a partnership. So like, that's what I'm centering this year is really honing in on my friendships, I think, and just like personal growth in that way. That's like my main one. Do you want to go back and forth?
Sure. I mean, I don't have,
I have more. stuff to say. A lot of it's about this, though. Yeah. So I'm not actually ready for, like, a partnership. So, and I need to, like, I have very good friendships, though. Yeah. But, like, I would like to have more of a community.
Yeah.
Truly. It,
levels of friendships and just getting to know more people around us type thing. And
yeah. And a goal for this year for me, honestly, too, is to kind of try to connect my friend groups a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's a lot of differences, but with anyone, I think there's more in common than there is differences. And we have a tendency to focus on differences instead of what we have in common. And obviously, I'm not talking about, like, with, like, the political climate. I'm not talking about people that do not have your best interests in mind.
We don't mean that.
Yeah. I mean, like, this person likes cats and this person likes dogs. Like,
yeah. Or, like, this person's into these types of, like, my brain, like, thought of, like, games or something. But it's, like,
every little thing says a lot about somebody.
There's always a common ground you can find with somebody.
Yeah. So I've been trying to work on that. I also think I, like, developed social anxiety at some point because I got so, like, in myself thinking about, like, differences, especially with, like, the political climate is really affecting my brain. Like, if I see someone that even looks a little bit Trumpy, I don't even give them, like, the time of day. And a lot of the time they're not, actually. If you, like, just let them speak for a second, but sometimes they are in this
society. Sometimes they are.
And then you just... Especially if they put it on, like, a cheese board or something. That'd be crazy. I'll cut that out.
You can cut this part out really quick, too, because I want to tell you this really quick. Okay. So cut this out. But I was, like, telling Jean, like, we were on that date at Peddler's Mall, and I said, she was, like, talking about playing harmonica, and I was, like, sick as fuck. I can't wait till you learn that. I was, like, my uncle can do that. Like, he can play the guitar and has it around his neck and do that. And then she was, like, no way. And I was, like, yeah. And I was, like, get this. He was the one that brought the mac and cheese board. And she was, like, and I was, like, there's layers. There's layers to this. So, yeah, you're super cool in that way, but you're an idiot. Anyway, cut here.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah, sorry. We had to talk shit for a second about somebody we know in
real life.
Wouldn't
you want to know? Don't you want to know? And you're not going to know. Anyways, one of my goals, and this is when we were talking about stuff earlier in the day, I was like, I'm going to work on positivity throughout this year. I'm going to work on trying to find things.
Sometimes talking shit, I think, is positivity.
No,
it is self-care.
No, let me explain what I mean by positivity. It's like my outlook on it. Like, I have no problem talking shit or discussing things about, like, stuff like, but at the end of the conversation or, you know, I don't want my outlook to still be up. Like, I want it to be
hopeful.
Yeah. Because if I don't have that, what do I have? So.
Hope is so important.
Hope is so important.
The Hunger Games, when they talk about hope, that's about to be more relevant than ever before. Y'all should all rewatch all of that. That Fahrenheit 451,
more stuff is coming out with that
Big
too,
Brother.
So.
Anything about the Holocaust, really, you should look into. Moving along.
What was another one? Do you want me to do my last one? It literally was just like two things.
Okay.
Like two things, but actually. Okay. Actually, it's three. Continue to communicate my feelings to the best of my ability.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Throughout this year, I just like with anybody and everybody, just to make sure how I'm feeling is known, just so like I know how they are feeling, like, you know.
Yeah. I was actually kind of thinking about, this is not one of mine, but you just made it one of mine.
Yeah.
I've been reading the Bell Hooks book, All About Love, and it's, like, not just about romantic love. It's about
friend love,
parent love, romantic love, self-love, all of that. It's a very good book.
I love self-love.
I take notes on every single page. As soon as I finish it, it's taking me so long because I'm, like, really
taking notes. Yeah, I got this, like, poetry book, this self-love poetry book that's so fucking good. On the left side is thinkers, on the right side is feelers, and in the way that they approach it in two different ways, but it's still the same thing. It's so good.
That does sound good.
God damn, do I love
self-love.
We'll get
us off at some point.
Ew.
But, I forgot what I was saying. Oh, she talks about how, like, part of self-love is, hold on, I got a burp.
That wasn't as good.
Like, oh, if
God,
I'm
damn. No. It sounded like you were struggling to get that out.
It really needed to come out, though, so worry not about that. But, she was talking about how, like, so early we learn that honesty is not actually valued. Like, our parents tell us not to lie, but they don't actually mean that because they would get really weird. And this isn't even like a dig at my parents. This is, I'm sure, everyone's parents. Yeah. Like when an adult asks you, like, do you want to help me with this? And you say,
no.
And they go, don't say that.
You have to help me. You're supposed to go do that.
They're not actually valuing honesty. And she talks about in that book a lot, like how much self-love is just being honest.
I've been like trying like really hard with that stuff. Yeah.
And I've noticed that with you actually. Like at work when they ask you like, do you want to do this? And you're like, no.
Yeah. I'm facts. Like there are things where you can, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you can like sacrifice certain things and, you know, do, but it's like, I'm allowed to say no sometimes.
And it's not even just stuff like that. Like just being honest with your feelings, like not dealing with stuff.
That didn't make me feel really super great. And I really struggle a lot with that. Like, yeah, this one, like, yeah. And it doesn't always have to be negative stuff. I also have been trying to be like more, like giving out verbal affirmations as best I can to the person, like how they're going to receive it the best way or something like that. Because why are you not doing that to the people you care about? Because believe it or not, they definitely don't hear it enough in their life.
Yeah, no one.
So
everyone is so stingy with like, it's that appreciation. American like individualism, truly. Like, nobody wants to give anyone props. Yeah,
Austin was, okay, I was cleaning out the litter boxes and we didn't even notice one of the cats fucking vomited right next to like his, like in his room. And he like went to go clean that up and I was like, I really appreciate you cleaning that up. He was like, it's in my room, I'm going to clean it up. And I was like, no, I just appreciate you doing it. Like, I was just like,
yeah.
This, like, I mean, dude, like, of course I'm going to say that.
I get really weird when people give me compliments, though, so.
Why do you think that is? Well, we don't have to get into that on this episode. that's what I'm saying, dude. It's like I've been trying to, like, tell people things.
Yeah. People need to hear it, too, especially right now.
They do. That's what I'm like, yeah. And that led into my find joy in things, even in the things I struggle with or I'm uncomfortable about. There's something that you can find in anything, I think. So,
yeah, I've been trying to work on that, too, because so much of life, honestly, is the mundane stuff.
It is.
No matter who you are.
You can find really fun things in those mundane day-to-day tasks.
Yeah.
So.
Unless it's folding clothes. Fuck that.
Well, Megan, I would fold your clothes for you if you asked me to. No joke. I would. You know how I am about that. Give me that task and give me a little music, maybe a little TV.
I literally have a whole basket just waiting for you. Right there.
I'm going to tackle that after
And I was
going
to see if you marry one would actually help me do that because that is my...
Megan, I have
If
no
I could
doing
fold
that.
My clothes, I would be unstoppable. If anyone know, like, I know we have all kinds of psychologists watching this, like clinical psychologists, doctors.
Yeah, I know. Like, literally, so many have reached out to us and be like, hey, chill. Like, we only have so much time.
Tell me what it is where, like, I physically can't do anything productive until I feel like all my other shit is done. Like, I'll be laying in bed. And I'll stay there because I'll be like, you can't do any of this stuff until you fold your clothes. Yep. So then I just stay in my bed because I do not want to fold those fucking clothes. And I know that I'm putting these shackles on myself. I know that I could just wake up and not fold those clothes, but I'm just going to feel like I can't do shit until I fold them. What is that? Do you know?
Well, we're working with different brains and different things, so.
I need to get over it.
Yeah.
Fuck those clothes.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's part of why the podcast didn't get done, because my clothes weren't folded, buddy. Like,
understand.
I finally got on top of that like a week ago. You know how much I had to fold, y'all? I had two laundry baskets and a pile on the floor. Moving along. I think I even wrote something about this. Hold on, guys. I'm just reading my diary on camera. I think it's a woman thing. I've seen something about, like, the amount of, like, women that just don't do creative stuff because they have such
They've
a pressure to do
a
domestic
lot of shit
labor.
To take care of. Like, they have to do all of it in that time or in this window. And because they're not going to be able to get to it later in the week because they have to do this. And it's like, when are you doing anything for yourself?
Oh, I also wrote this. This is like a step back to the decentering yearning thing, but like I wanted to say something about like straight women and men. Right now, being a romantic woman especially one that's interested in men, I'm like a bisexual, but like obviously I have like the experience with men.
Yeah.
But straight women, it is a dangerous time to like men. Like they are shifting into some like weird masculinity.
It's getting kind of scary.
Yeah, like the
Not
way that they're
of.
Like the
it's
man
been
is
scary,
gone.
But like it's
what
yeah.
we you know what we don't need is more patriarchal masculinity, and that's what they're talking about.
Because it's not
they
like
not
it
talking
went
about
away.
The good parts of masculinity.
Yeah, dude.
scary. It's very spooky. And the Trumpiness of it all. Scary.
Well, any other goals you wanted to mention? Things for the year?
I had two more.
Okay.
One was being grateful for the things that I do have.
Yes.
Like, I think I take it for granted a lot how much community I actually do have. Like, I'm always like, I need more community. And I never, like, if I had no family, I would not be ever homeless. You know what I mean? I have people in my life that are going to step in and help me with anything I need help with. And there's people that truly don't have that. And that's, like, very sad to me. Like, that, and to get through the next 4 years, like, I think our number one step would be community building.
Building community. Megan and I were talking about, like, actually doing stuff in the city. So
yeah. So that, and then decentering my fucking phone. I think it's an addiction.
I think that's a good one.
Yes. It's Megan, so bad. Really, and it good. Definitely hinders like all of my creativity. Cause like you compare yourself to other people.
It is hard not to do.
And I have never.
Yeah. And one thing about the phone is, damn, did it give you so many more people to compare yourself to.
You're not supposed to see this much shit that people are up to. You're not. And I know, like, we're doing a podcast and, like, putting this on the internet. Yeah, but, like bitch, log off. after you finish this episode.
Yeah.
Log off.
I don't want you to compare yourselves to us. I want you to find community in us.
Yes.
That's not what that's the goal of this is podcast, for. I want truly. You guys to feel connected. Don't compare and contrast.
So with my phone, I've never understood what people meant. Like, my grandma used to ask me, because she saw, like, my grandma is, like, big TV watcher, huge TV watcher. And she would, like, see stuff about, like, how social media is, like, affecting girls, like, confidence in themselves. And I've never looked online and, like, compared myself physically to people. Like, that's never been an issue for me. So I never thought about it as affecting me in that way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when I do assess, like, when I see other creative people or people that are, like, funnier than me or people that are, like, doing art in a way that I can't do it, and, like, I'll probably never be able to do it, that does affect my brain.
I do struggle.
Where I start
with
feeling
the,
like, my stuff's not worth doing.
Artistic expression stuff. It's like,
because that matters to me more than what I look like. So I never even, like, it didn't occur to me to think about it in a different way.
Her levels to
And then when I started to, I was like, damn, it really is hindering my creativity because I compare myself to other people. Like, when I'm doing something, I'm like, this isn't worth sharing because it's not as good as this thing I saw.
And saying that too, because, like, my approach to something is going to be different than your approach to something, and there's always going to be somebody that's going to find appreciation in our art. There always is going to be somebody that's going to like that. It's like when you're interested in a person, you know what I mean? Like, this is, like, my flavor, but it doesn't have to be that person's. Like, somebody's gonna like that no matter what. Like, it doesn't matter. So it's like, I guess our biggest goal is to work on making sure we like what we make and not actually focusing on how other people approach it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Because, like, I wrote down some stuff. Like, I wrote, like, the post, don't scroll. Beyonce. That's a quote from Beyonce. And you know who really gets shit done? Fucking Beyonce.
Beyonce really does get shit done.
Did y'all see Beyonce bowl? Bang. Oh,
I hated how short it was. I mean, obviously it made sense.
It,
like,
was
so, it's a halftime,
good.
But
she was running so a fucking marathon short. During that.
She really
13
was.
Minutes was long for there to be no cuts, for it to be live.
It was very good. It was very, very well done.
Very well done. And I know there's little Easter eggs in it.
They were standing,
she's like that.
On horses. And that was just in the beginning. Like, that, and then they were done. That was the only shot. Mm. Anyways.
I love her.
Anything else?
I was just, my last point with that was going to be just, like, art in general and creativity. You should always, and this is, like, my point with that, you should always just be focusing
centering
on yourself.
Centering creativity. Yeah. Want to get
you
back in the
You should be making it for
yep.
yourself.
Yeah.
And, like,
and art is such a broad fucking term, so it could be, don't even just think of the first things that are coming to you. Like, it's like, there are so many ways to express yourself through art that you can keep finding different ways to do it, really.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the most fun thing ever is when you find a new way to.
I'm going to put your little painting in this.
Wait, my little one. Okay. I was like, that one's not done.
Is it a frog? It's giving frog. It's not.
Frog, alien thing. Yeah.
Yeah, y'all see what we're talking about. It's probably on the screen right now, if I'm smart.
If I'm smart.
It's like I have control of these things or something. I don't know.
Jeez. forgot what I was saying. We were going to take this episode, too, to, like, talk about...
stuff we liked over the past year.
Yeah, just what came out, what we really enjoyed, what we spent our time with. So, I didn't have a whole lot of movies, but, Do you have more movies than that? I was going to talk about this one, but I was like, this is going to take up my time.
I worked on 2 movies, bro. 2.
And I didn't even see that one. You forgot Challengers. Oh, maybe she didn't forget Challengers.
I forgot to write it down, but I did not forget about Challengers.
Challengers was earlier in 2024, so it was like, yeah. I had to like remind myself that that came out.
I went bonkers for that movie, too. Tennis, Zendaya.
So aesthetically pleasing,
bro.
Too.
Art Donaldson, bro. I still get TikTok edits to this day.
Does he sound like Schmidt?
What a man. He was, that was so a good like, movie. When movie. He looks at her, listen, I'm about
very
to be a freak.
Artistically done.
But when she puts her little hand on his head and he looks up at her so pathetic.
Like a little puppy dog.
I should not have been watching that in a theater with other people. That needed to be at home in private. That's what that needed to be. Anyways, okay. what kind of albums did you like this year? You want to start with music?
Okay.
I have more music.
There's a lot of music.
I can't talk about Challengers for too long. I can't.
Okay.
This is in public.
Then that's the only time we're talking about it. It's never coming up again. There were so many that came out.
Why did you draw such a hard boundary on that? Okay. All right. I hear you. Number one.
Well, I didn't number them because I can't just say which one I like the most.
I'm looking at yours.
I hated that I messed up how I wrote it. I put the name instead of her name. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, cool. We can cut that out. Cut it out now. Here. Okay.
I'm going to leave it.
Okay, that's fine.
I have all the control. Okay. I am happy Taita.
That is from...
Nosferatu. Much to say about that later.
I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see that movie. Okay, so I didn't have them numbered, so we'll just go with what I wrote down first. Lola Young. Let's talk about it.
Bitch.
This wasn't meant for you anyways.
That album fucks,
that
dude.
Was
that
a
so
piece
good.
Of art. That was not, like, she's musically gifted, but it was awesome. Like, that. This is when I say that you can create and so many, like, art is such a broad term, and, like, she just chose music to go, like, I mean, like... The words, the sounds, like her outro at the end, like it. And then you listen to the album again after that, and then you just really fucking get it. That album is so fucking beautiful.
I also really loved about that album that she kind of explained it at the end. That's which, what, like, artists so are always so like, just if you get it, you get it.
You
she
interpret
said,
it how
no,
you interpret it.
This is what it is. Yeah. This is why I named it this. And I loved that.
Yeah.
Because she did not want to be misconstrued. Yeah. She was like, this wasn't made for you anyway.
And that's how she ended it. And then yep. I started the album again, and it's like, it like seamless. It was seamless the way it goes again. Yeah. So good.
And I've been stuck on those type of albums, like the, because she's unabashedly fucking messy, and I'm actually tired of the trend that we're like, where everyone's acting like they're so fucking healthy.
Hiding that shit.
Can we stop?
Like,
because, like,
you can't be healthy in every aspect of your fucking life. It is humanly impossible. You are not a perfect person. You have flaws. I think you cannot, it's not achievable. It is an unobtainable goal, and people are ridiculous with that. You're a fucking liar. You may be kicking ass in this, but you're not eating well enough. If you're eating well enough, you're not drinking enough water. If you're not doing that, dude, you definitely didn't take care of your dogs the night before. Like, I mean, there's like so many things to do, and that's just with my body. Like, I mean, you could be fucking up this relationship on like over there, but like you're doing okay over here. It's ridiculous.
Nobody like and me right now with like my like dating and stuff, which I've taken a step back with. I have been such a messy fucking bitch, and like sometimes you just need to be a mess. Like messy sometimes bitch. You just have to get through that. Like that's how you feel. That's what you need to do. That's how you're coping.
Be honest with yourself.
If you make it to 26, 27 and haven't got like some kind of disorganized attachment style, you've really like nailed something. Like I don't know. You know what I'm saying? And like I cannot be openly messy because I can't, but I feel that way in my fucking head. So like albums like that one, I was gonna bring up SZA knows how to do a messy bitch song.
Not only does she know how to do a messy bitch song, she took 2 years after SOS
and was then, like, and I had more to
and
say.
And finished that off.
Like, and I'm going to put on my weird little fake crotch.
That really got
me. It really got me. It reminds me of the goat standing on its legs. Yeah. Like the way that she put a prosthetic on the puss.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. How she's like pelvis front.
Looks phenomenal though. Yeah. I mean, it's a great cover.
She's one of my most favorite artists as well. Like artists. I don't mean like musician or singer. Like SZA is one of my most favorite artists.
I'm excited to see that movie she's in with Keke Palmer too.
So am I
forgot what it's called, but I'm excited to see it.
I also forgot what it was called.
I couldn't even find it.
Something about a day. It's like something day. It's not going to pop up anyway. But yeah, that one, I didn't even write that down because I didn't like it. SZA's going to come up.
Damn. Yeah.
That one was really
good. Love SZA's album.
Cowboy Carter. Still hits me.
The way she did it too, as like a project, like it has like, it looks like there's a lot of songs on it, but a lot of them aren't actually songs.
The transitional
it's like a
songs
radio
too.
Station is yeah. how she did it. If you haven't listened to it, which if you're here, why haven't you listened to it? But if you haven't, now's the time. And we're being accepting.
Yeah,
we're building community.
Yeah, that album would be good to listen to again.
She does like, it's like a radio station and she has like Willie Nelson, Dolly Parton.
Like twice and then Dolly in there. And then what's her name? Linda Martell. But like, that was... It was like an ode to the past, but also to the future. It was like...
And she did it in a way that really honored that country music originates from Black people. It was, even though it's been like very whiteified.
Whiteified is a good word.
She called it back home.
Yeah.
And she did it in her own way, too. Like, she said, like, this isn't a country album. This is a Beyoncé album. And, like, it totally is.
It's so well done. She is also an artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, fuck the country music scene for not treating her with the respect that she deserves. Like, what is the matter with y'all?
I just find it really odd. Like, I don't understand.
Why would you not want her to, like, do you all not want to, like, to be cool?
I know. Well,
do y'all
like,
want to be lame
well,
little losers?
Think about those fucking people that are, like, that really like that niche shit and think, like, if you like big things, it's not as cool. And it's making me feel like country is like thinking they're so cool because they have this type of genre and like all and it's like you're closing yourself off to a lot of amazing fucking people that could bring your genre even higher because yeah. I have a weird relationship with country. Like obviously where we're from we know country. Like I like country music, but then it's like the modern country music we have now, and there's some artists that really piss me the fuck off. It's like it's hard to find a love for country music, and it's like
I like country music in a way that's like the folk, like the storytelling.
I love folk music.
I seek out to like people of color for it because it does feel like bullshit to me that like it has been so whiteified. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because where did that come from? Like really, if it, just think about where that comes from. You know what I mean? Like it comes back to like slavery and then like coming up from slavery and like making something of yourself. And then it's just been stolen. And it's like, And then you lock Beyonce out of the door? Are you kidding me? I could talk about that for a very long time. But I won't. You have anything else to say about Cowboy Carter?
No.
Okay. But yeah, folk music, I'll actually make a little, if anyone cares, I'll make a playlist and I'll make it public. Y'all can find me in our link for the playlist that
we actually have a Moody music
too,
playlist.
But we forget to mention.
We yeah, forget to still, mention still because it's like, I don't know how often you guys are jamming to this music for us.
I'm gonna keep doing it though. Cause it's for me.
Damn, I can smell my coffee. Zoned anyway, out, sorry. What other album did you have?
I honestly only wrote down Lola Young and SZA. And
Hot
I even wrote
damn.
A note where I was like, can you tell I have a short memory?
Hot damn. Okay, then I'll go fast with the rest that I have.
I was going to talk about this one, too.
That adds up. Then I'll wait till the last, so you can just take over with that one. Omar Apollo, his album is called God Said No. The title is already so fucking good. Nobody knows this fucking album, I'm sure.
I think this is so funny. I actually just have to interrupt you.
I actually just have to do this. I feel like I know what you're going to say.
I haven't listened to Omar Apollo's any of his whole albums because Hannah told me that his whole albums aren't that good. So I think the switch up is funny.
Because I didn't dig the one that had Evergreen on it that much. He had an EP that was okay, but there were some that were iffy. It's like, I gave this album, it came out last year. It was his first, like a really...
Gave it a go.
Yeah, and he was approaching it differently. Too. So I was like, okay. And I gave it a few listens, and it's like, it's just really beautiful.
I mean, what's the God Said No about? The story
in there, it's, like, sad. Like, think about it. He is queer.
Well, I didn't God listen to it. God said no. So I couldn't, like, to being queer. Is that what? Oh, my God, the burps.
I'm sure. the struggle with having relationships as a queer person. Because it's not just you that you got to figure yourself out. The other person is also obviously queer. It's like they're...
And every queer person there's some like
the layers of
none
trauma.
Of us came out unscathed.
No, bro. If
if
you
not
queer,
by our family, then by culture.
Yeah, if you're queer, you've got some demons in there for stuff like that. So that album was just oh god. There's some songs on there that are so heart wrenchingly sad, but then there's some that are really upbeat because that's
I
just
know
how
his
he
sound
is.
Too. He's like,
yeah, exactly. And then some are like just it's like a ballad. Okay, so then I also wrote down Billie Eilish, Hit Me Hard and Soft.
I
come on,
hard with that album
oh my
too.
God, what it did to my soul.
Do you know how we listened to that for the first time? Hannah never spends the night. Why did you spend the night that day?
I don't know.
Probably intoxicated.
Or I was like so exhausted.
Yeah. But I was like,
so
you
funny.
Know Billie
probably
Eilish just came out with this album? Can I like put it on when we're going to sleep? And Hannah was like, yeah. And like I put it on and like put it because between the pillows where we were laying and we both were like,
I think I had tears. I think I had tears in my
damn, that's
eyes.
Actually
yeah.
Fire.
How am I supposed to fall asleep after that?
We had to turn it off.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was, damn. It was funny because it was one of those moments where we both were like,
should we?
I love when we have moments like that. We had one over the. We should talk about the MLK Day thing we went to.
Oh yeah, we can.
Yeah, I'm fine with. We can return to that.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
This is our thing.
So there was this performance we went to a couple days ago. It was like the day before MLK Day. I zoned down. I started thinking about it.
It was called Keepers of the Dream.
Sorry, think of it.
It was a like it was like an exposition kind of, and they were giving out like awards to people who are like
civil
servants.
Yeah, I didn't know they were
between.
Doing like the awards apart. I thought it really was just a performance of the arts type thing.
Yeah, we didn't really know what to expect.
Yeah, so that was really cool seeing the people come up and talk and accept the award. That was just it's amazing just seeing someone be like. Like when someone's grateful for something they're getting and then who they speak of and talk about and what words they choose to share with us is very, very beautiful. The type of art we saw too, it wasn't just like we thought we were just going to see some like dances and stuff like that, but they had, oh my God, dude, I love like stepping. And I think that shit is the coolest thing ever. There's this movie I used to love when I was younger called Stomp the Yard. First time I saw that, I was like, that's fascinating. Me and Lauren look clapping. that was super
too.
Fucking badass. And they had drums. The drums were sick.
That's why this just made me think of
dude.
It. Because there was a point during the drumming. It was phenomenal. It was children. It was like a program
so
for like an underserved
cool.
community to be able to learn and like build community. Community again.
Community.
And me and Hannah, like, it was going on for, like, really long.
Okay, so,
and
like,
I had to
they
poop
had multiple
so
performances already.
This.
They had been going on for, like, a really long time. And we were eating it up. I was beating
And then, like, halfway
then
through, like, we
got
lost
to a
our
point,
gumption with the dancing.
And
we were, like...
sitting. And then we just happened to turn. And I was like, yeah, man, me too. Yeah, man, me too.
It was so good, though. Like, and it was like, culturally very interesting. Because I'm never... And it doesn't even occur to me to think about it, which is kind of fucked up. But, like, I'm very rarely a racial minority anywhere. Like, I go somewhere and I can expect to look around and see a lot of white people
I will
most
say,
of the time.
One thing I do with, like, big groups, I do look for it. I do look around and see.
I clock it, too.
What people I'm, like, with and, like, who's around
but
me.
But it's not as jarring as it was when we walked in. And it was almost completely, like, there was a lot of people there. And most of them were black people.
Yeah.
And it was honestly... an experience to see how differently they were in a crowd.
Yeah, that was
like
nice.
I was thinking about it. I was like, if this was a crowd of white people, like the way they were getting down, like with like the music that was playing,
well,
and responding.
Love seeing people get up and dance and just like feel the fucking music because we were there to be like a part of it. It was their, yeah. They were putting on a performance for us. We should be able to.
It made me feel kind of jealous. Like, in a way, because I know, like, being a white person, I have a lot of privilege, and, like, I don't get scared when, like, I see the police the same way. Like, I don't worry about if that's going
to
be an issue.
There's a lot,
like,
of stuff we don't have to worry about.
I'm not going to go down the line of, like, all the privileges I have, because y'all know. But I was like, damn, like, are white people boring? like we don't have, like, this, like, fun stuff. It's because we lack community so badly. And the theme of this episode is community, but I had so much fun.
It was really
truly
awesome. It was
I felt
really
comfortable,
amazing,
like, dancing
that.
In my seat, yeah. In a way that I wouldn't have. Like, the way that white people, like, Mayor Greenberg was there, came out, said Martin Luther King got
passed away. Bro,
by the way.
I was, someone
called him out for
that. I know.
That.
I didn't know how to, like, take that, because I was like, I'm pretty sure that's not the correct, like, that's not what you say when someone was assassinated. You don't just say that they passed away.
Like a martyr almost, too, for, like, a movement that is ongoing.
Still ongoing. It literally, the performance was called Keepers of the Dream. Whose dream do you think that was, guys?
Yeah. But the way white people at that would have been like...
Yeah, just sitting in their
but
seat, not moving
yelling,
much, and just
people
clapping.
People were getting down. People were singing.
And they were, there was constantly it. People yelling out with multiple people who spoke and the performances. Like, it was so... It made my heart feel so warm, and I felt so happy, and it was so nice that I was able to go there. Like, that was so cool that we got to experience that, and I liked that I was able to go with Austin and Megan. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was
definitely
a very cool experience.
Yeah.
But the reason that came up is because we had that look thing again.
Yeah.
Side note, I thought I was going to die during that.
Yeah, let's talk about our two things that happened in that event.
Yeah. I was in such a hurry. Such a hurry, because I wake up late as hell. I'm notoriously late to things, and this was not something I could be late to.
We did have we had time crunch. There was
we
a
did.
Specific
and it
time.
Actually wasn't my fault. We had to move cars around. Like, I was trying
you did
really,
a really
hard
good
to be
job.
On time.
You did a really good job of getting us there too. Because
I was like, I'll drive because I'll get us there.
Yeah, because my little piece of shit car, I offered to drive, and I was like, we're gonna have to take the back ways, and that's gonna like 30 plus minutes. So
and I'm a speeder.
We fucking zoomed.
February 13th.
Well,
catch
fucking
me.
Done.
Catch me. Don't catch me actually, because
you
won't. You
can't fucking catch
me. But I sat down. I have a boogie problem, first and foremost. My nose, I wake up in the morning full. Like,
actually,
there's a cone
I
of boogers
had
in
like
each
a,
nostril.
Like a
medical
like
condition.
Mucus, like there's just, you just have buildup.
Yep. So I was dealing with that. I was sitting there. I was like, can't fucking breathe through my nose at all. Don't want to mouth breathe. So I was sitting there like, and then... I have a gluten intolerance, and I'm pretty sure I know exactly what I did, and I haven't told anybody, and this is the first time I'm telling people. I found a piece of chocolate. In the bottom of my little Christmas bag, and I was like, yum yum. And it was like, when I say it was a ball this big, Hannah, I was like, who the fuck is this? I ate half of
what
it.
What was in it?
Oreos. So I knew what I fucking did.
And you said, I don't care.
No, I swallowed it and then didn't eat the other half because I was like, that's gonna get me.
Oh, it sure fucking did.
I was sitting there and I was leaning this way towards Hannah because she was sitting on my what side is this?
Left. Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And like everything felt so tight. Like I was like, I'm going to have to poop here. I was like, and it feels extra fucked up because I'm one of like 9 white people. I'm about to go shit in this. And I don't mean like, it wasn't like a poop. It wasn't like, oh, I pooped. I shat
poop.
At the Kentucky Center for Fine Arts. I got so lucky. I got to the bathroom and there was a toilet that was just flushing. I was like, thank God. I was like, maybe God's real. I was like, bless the Lord. I sat down.
Whatever shines down upon me.
And then I couldn't get it out because my body was like, you're a piece of shit for this. You're a piece of shit for this. And I can hear people. I can hear children. And I was sitting there. I was like, please, God, just come out. When it finally did come out, 0.5 seconds flat, empty. I was good.
Hell fucking yeah. And that time that she was doing that, I texted Megan for a favor. And she had her phone on Do Not Disturb and I didn't notice. So I didn't hit notify anyway. So while she was having those fucking shit problems in that bathroom, I pulled my phone out of my jacket pocket. I was cold, so I put it back on. So I pulled my phone out, and there was chocolate all over my fucking hand and my phone. And I was like, oh my God, the kisses. I'm a fucking freak. I just need something. Like, I have kisses or Jolly Rancher, like, something. Like, give me something, please. A Starburst, anything.
Don't let... them convince you that this is like a kindness thing too. Like Hannah's fully trying to Pavlov y'all. You read that
Pavlov, and it's like, you know what? Sure, but it's also for me. I like eating those too. Okay,
but the way that you're making friends, buddy, and that's the way to do it. Pavlov people, why not?
People like sweet treats.
Yeah, people like me too. So like, I mean, it works out in the end.
Anyways, I pulled that out, and there's chocolate all over my phone. And she didn't see that text, so she came back, and I was like, she missed it. I suckled my fucking fingers there too. I felt like a fucking freak. I literally licked chocolate off my fingers. Like I leaned over, hunched over, so no one saw. What did I end up doing, guys? I feel horrible about this. I still think about it. I wiped the chocolate on the seat.
I know that they...
There was just nothing.
They have to, like,
We had nothing. We didn't even have a bag with us. We were... Megan was right, like,
I was going through everything I had to see if I could find anything. And it's on the side, so no one's ever going to saw it.
I wiped it on the side, away from... seats. Yeah, and then I was like, they're going to think it was a kid. That's okay. It's...
But now they know.
Yeah. Everybody who attended that performance definitely was watching this, so they're definitely
every single one.
See,
yeah,
there's chocolate on this. I'm so sorry. That was great. I had a great time. Yep. Besides the chocolate and the poop, it was really, really great. I absolutely loved it.
Felt so much better after I pooped, and then I did it again at the Old Spaghetti Factory.
Delicious.
Which, by the way, Old Spaghetti Factory, work on
your
the
signage.
Space. That too. The space between the stall and the wall.
You should not be able to see what's going on down there.
Face, everything. Like, why is it this thick? Are you joking? Are you joking?
Anyway. Their mirror was really warped too. Didn't like that.
It was fucked up, yeah. And then they charged me, like, kind of a high amount for my fucking noodles. $32 for some noodles?
Jesus, fuck. It was that much?
Plus my cream soda.
Mine was $20. Oh, yeah. That cream soda was expensive. That's
why I
didn't get
it. Though. The Old Spaghetti Factory's cream soda. Fire.
Oh, my God. Making out the vanilla.
Yep. So and I got a little souvenir glass, which is just a ploy to charge you $4 more than what it's worth. But I got the glass. It says,
still delicious.
I heart Mizithra, which I do. Love Mizithra.
You know what else I love?
But...
Wicked.
Yeah. We got to talk about it. Yeah.
Okay?
We got time.
What time is it?
Time wise, it's 7:30. But time wise, we're at 46 minutes.
Okay.
We have time.
I meant like to eat and just like actually just chillax. Do you know what I mean? You can cut this out. But
I'm just going to leave it.
Sometimes it's boring to watch when we discuss.
You think so?
I think sometimes.
Are you bored?
Yeah.
Be honest.
Can you?
I will cut it out just to that.
Okay. So, Wicked. The amount of times I've already fucking watched that, and it'll get even higher. I can't stop fucking watching that movie. There are layers for this movie. The layers of love and just everything that goes on in the film. So, like, we can talk about the surface level stuff. Like, it was so fucking beautiful. The amount of...
Yeah, I just like to look at
the sets, the hard work. The train was fucking real. Like, all of the tulips. Like, yep. I mean, the effort that they put into that to, like, make me feel a part of that world was astounding. Phenomenal.
Aside from that...
Like, well fucking done.
The outfits. Especially, I loved everything Glenda.
Yeah.
Like,
they really kicked ass
they
with
put
Glenda.
Her in on... Well, every outfit they put on her was amazing. Jonathan Bailey. That whenever
bro, his dancing, so, his fucking,
I felt so rich. Like,
his pants.
Yeah, we'll give that its own moment.
It's,
his pants. We already talked
there's
about this
a specific
in an episode.
Shot. Well,
I forgot.
It's like, man,
the dancing through life sequence. So good.
Honestly, if you guys want to look at that too, superficial, let's get out of it. The deeper, like, discussion with that song alone, like, if you think about it, there's a lot of, like, there are a lot of Fieros out there right now that are choosing to dance through life and to do that because it hurts so much, and I understand that, and you can take a minute to do that, but, like, don't get stuck in that, like, position. Don't get stuck in that, like, way of thinking and just coasting, because it doesn't actually benefit you, and you kind of harm people in the process of doing that. It doesn't really actually feel good.
There needs to be a balance between like
Yeah, you can give yourself a break.
Yourself, and but then like, also still doing the, like, not getting too comfortable, just letting things be how they are.
Yeah. So then I was thinking of, like, there are, you know, there's the Glinda, and then there's the Elphaba, and,
There's layer, yeah, there's, like, Elphaba is, the like, doing the most right, and then there's Fearow, and then there's Glinda, and then there's, like, so most of them are acting like Glinda, honestly.
Well, honestly, and then there's, like, too, obviously the oppressors. Well, the way they are with Glinda, like, just giving her all of this stuff when it's like, stop, don't do that. Like, stop doing that for her. She doesn't need it. Don't do it.
Well, there was also a lot to be said about, like, Fearow and Glinda both having so much privilege that they would have to give up to be able to do, like, help. Like, especially...
There's a lot of stuff they would have to, like, sacrifice, essentially.
Right. And they both had very easy lives. Yeah. And, like, honestly, Glinda more than Fearow, even though was he a prince?
Yeah.
Yeah, Glinda, the way that she was, like, baby, she was, like, something... I didn't get my way. And they, like, carried her away.
Giving,
like,
her a fucking
that's, like, funny, but also,
that's
like...
That's what, like, that movie is so good and funny and humorous. But, like, actually, read into that. Like, there are so many people like that.
And the way she, like, with, like, Dr. Dillamond... This was another thing I wanted to bring up. Like, so many of the things with Dr. Dillamond. The way that Glinda treated him.
Yeah.
Like,
the jokes towards him. Like, the...
And the way that, like... They are absolutely, like, when shit gets serious, which it has.
Him not being able to pronounce her name.
Was not, like, that serious, too. Well, he was close
but
enough.
Think about that. Someone not being able to pronounce your name because of how they speak. Like, I mean, bro.
Yeah.
Chill. I don't know.
You were saying, also, the self-importance. I forgot what I was saying. Oh, the fact that they, like, came for them first, like, the getting them out of the schools.
The teachers, the educators.
Is a commentary on how important fucking education is. Like, removing them from positions of teaching.
And what he's teaching. Like, what he was specifically teaching, too. Like, he was really letting them know what was fucking happening.
And if you look at anything dystopian ever... The first people that they try to discredit, that they try to do anything to, are academics, are people that are, like, well-informed on, it's, we're seeing it in the, like, this is getting dark, but we're seeing it in the real world very quickly.
Try,
like, we're seeing an attack
dark,
on education.
Trying to, like, remind you and keep everybody aware that, like, Wicked is so fucking good, but it's so fucking real.
Yeah, and I think it's hilarious that, like, Wicked is what Wicked is, and the way that they are marketing it.
Oh my God.
Is so over the fucking top. Like, it's so
ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
They had to pay for all that shit you were talking about, though. The real train. Yeah, they had to make some dollars back.
It's like millions of fucking tulips. Like, honestly, chill.
Yeah. But, yeah, the message it's trying to give is so fucking relevant right now. Like, the scapegoating a woman for the actions of a man, for one thing.
My God. And the help of the woman.
The useless fucking man, too.
Well,
that's in power somehow.
And the help of another woman in, like, with him, next to him. Because that's how it always is.
Yep. And girl, why?
Why?
In the way that the masses are just, yup.
Yeah.
Yup. No one minds. No one cares.
Yeah.
It's so poetic, actually, that it's this popular right now. Like, that this is when it's coming out. And it's just going...
The universe likes to really, like, have some fun, dude. I swear.
Mm. Damn.
Anyways. Yeah. I didn't watch a whole lot of new movies in 2024, but...
I've got to talk about Nosferatu.
Let's talk about it.
I seriously loved it. First of all, superficial-wise, Lily Rose Depp's acting in that was insane. I think putting her in that... What was it? The Idol...
Yeah.
That everyone...
That
I, like, knew about. I don't even know if that was her first role, but, like, disrespectful. First of all, the acting she did, the body acting, the way her convulsing was just her.
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah.
That's interesting.
But I feel like people really miss, like, the point of it. Like, you all know I love vampires. If you all watch this, like, so obviously I was going to go see that. But so much of the time, they remove... So, like, they don't make vampires evil. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's romanticized.
And it makes sense. The way that he was, there was nothing romantic about it. And, like, TikTok, this is one of those things, too, where I had to really think about how TikTok affects how I look at things. Because the way they were treating it, like, he was, like, daddy or something. Bitch, that man was scary. He was a predator. The way, okay, so the movie opens.
Oh my God, don't do that.
This is relevant. It's relevant.
So you're drinking crystal clear water. I thought you had to give me a... Okay, go.
It shows her, like... So she was a weird fucking kid. A lot of people, especially women, especially smart women...
Also...
Are weird.
Well, like, not just smart women. Like, you could, like... Your brains, like, are so creative and fascinating and beautiful. And you get looked at in a different way or made fun of or bullied because you're a weirdo to them.
Yeah. Well, she also was odd because she was like spiritually in tune. That's, like she would that's have another like, thing. These, it's like you said, episodes.
And it's like they don't know what to do with a weirdo. It freaks people out when you're weird. And, yeah. And that sucks a lot of like every time. Because like, there's a lot of weirdos, man.
Yep.
Embrace the weird. You were saying.
But so she's yearning for just anyone, like any companionship. And like she, that energy like goes out into the world and he gets it from wherever he's at and like speaks to her in her brain. And she like promises Damn. Herself to him essentially because just for companionship.
Yeah, but she just wanted somebody. Yeah. She just wanted something.
So then later down the line, she's married and he's like, time to fucking collect.
Ugh.
And
chooses the perfect time.
She warns everyone around her. Like, her husband very clearly loved her. And I feel like this was poetic, too, that he really did love her and, like, believe her when he said when she said stuff. But still kind of thought she was nuts.
Aww.
And still, like,
he
she
just,
was,
he
like...
He just liked her and loved her that much. He's like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
But she was like, please do not go. And he was like, I have to go. Because he was, like, given, like, if he went and did this, he was going to get this raise. And, like, he wanted to, like, build a family for them, which is it's respectable.
I understand.
So he went anyways. And, like, it went south. And he, while he was there, was like, she was fucking right. Like, she was fucking right. And, like, he gets his way back to her with the vampire. I love the way he talked, by the way.
Yeah, that Megan quoted it earlier in the episode.
Yeah, you have 3 nights. Yeah, bitch. That part was fun. But the way that people romanticized it, when it like the line in the movie where he says, I am appetite, nothing more. I am appetite, nothing more. I was like, yeah, facts. That's how these fucking predators are. They don't fucking care. And it was just such good commentary to me on, like, gender notions. Like, obviously, a dramatized version. Is that a word? Dramatic version of, like, what happens when you have, like, a fucking, like, groomer, pedophile fucking freak getting a hold of these women young. And then, like, consuming her. Like, consuming her whole. Taking Literally. Her whole being. I thought it was a great movie.
I can't wait to see it. I did not go see it in theaters with Megan, but I will watch it
also
when I can.
Unexpectedly funny. Like, if you have a fucking sense of humor, I could not believe it. I went and saw it with our friend Kiera. And me and Kiera were like, this bitch, his boss that was, like, working hard for Nosferatu, his name was actually Count Orlok, was, like, that was trying to get this guy to him, the husband, was losing his fucking marbles. He was like, this is God, being a weirdo. And, he bit the head off this pigeon and this guy was like, gentlemen, why would you do that? And then like it shows him running nude through the cobblestone streets. Like no one laughing in the theater, but me and Kiera, I was like, can y'all grow a pair? Like, this is fucking funny. Gentlemen, why would you do that?
I don't know like their reactions and what they were thinking when that happened, but I will say, even being a smart, intelligent person and understanding the layers of a movie, it's like, you're allowed to laugh when shit like that happens.
It's fucking funny.
You're allowed to laugh.
Also, Nicholas Hoult and Aaron Taylor Johnson should be forced at gunpoint to do period pieces more often. Anyways, that's all I have to say about Nosferatu.
Oh, movies. I'm going to talk about this a later time. This didn't come out last year.
It did not.
I just have been feeling that.
It's everything in everywhere my all entire at once. Soul we have talked body. About it before, but
everything everywhere
more
all
to say.
At once. There's I said, always more to say.
I wasn't.
There's always more to say with that. There's always more.
Yeah.
You hear that?
Mine's been doing it too.
I'm hungry.
We're hungry.
What did Kiera say last night?
Your Palms girl is starving. I want some meat.
Yeah.
There's a quote, a preemptive quote for y'all. You didn't find a quote, did you? Slacker.
Fuck up. We've been so out of this.
Yeah, we had a hard time.
I will say we can talk really quick. I don't feel like we have to actually say anything about Chapel.
I thought it was pretty obvious that we fucked with that album, and it technically didn't come out in 2024. So, yeah. Sabrina Carpenter, okay, I will say I really did like that album, but it was not an album that I'm going to say that it moved me and made me just, like, it was a really great album. Like, I love her voice and the sounds, and she did it with Jack Antonoff, and that, like, that was amazing. I loved it. But I'm not going to say, I'm not going to, like, put it in the same category as, like, Cowboy Carter or even, like, or even, like, Lola though, Young's album. Like, it's not fair to them to do that. So, yeah. But
I did really appreciate, though, the unabashed confidence that she has in her music. Like, she knows she's the shit. She knows she's a fucking catch. And I think that more women need to be recognizing that they're a fucking catch, because we're all yearning. You know, we're all lover girls.
Yeah.
But, bitch, you're the catch. Don't get it twisted. And you should always think that you're a catch. And she's very good at, like, painting that picture for you. These aren't, like, music or movies or anything, but I did want to talk about, because I feel like it really impacted my life, the Broski Report. I love that bitch. I love Brittany Broski. I feel like every time I watch her podcast, it gets my gears turning. It gets me to think about things in a way that I hadn't before. It introduces, like, I just bought Fahrenheit 451 because she talked about it. And I just think she's a very, like, beneficial person. And I really like how she, like, leads with empathy. She's funny. She's intelligent. But she does it in a way that's not condescending.
She's kind. She's yes. very kind.
Love her. And then also Two Idiot Girls. I love Two Idiot Girls. Their dynamic is fun to watch for me. Drew's book, Loud, I feel like really did change my outlook on life.
Like, well, that can be, like, I forgot to even put, like, books because we don't even, like, discuss that as much on this, like, we probably will eventually, but yeah, that yeah. one, like, that deserves, like, a slot on its own. Like, the amount of times we've told so many people to read it, if you don't want to read it, it's like, listen to it, it's on Spotify.
It's not long either, and no, Drew reads it herself, which makes it like in the, I think, better
because she reads it, like, it's, she's also speaking to you, so it's like, it feels like a conversation, like someone's just having a talking to you, like, and it's like they're just yeah, looking out
like
for you,
like a pep talk,
they're
like caring a very for long you. Pep talk,
yeah, and it feels so good, and it really makes you want to, like, even if you already, like, really have a lot of self-worth and self-love, it just reminds you, you know, like, you know, just how to do it, yeah, and just
how to stand up for yourself.
Yeah,
she's really good about that, like,
because
standing
that's
up for yourself.
Really hard, even with, like, she, like, the example of, like, your drink order was wrong, you know, yeah. what I mean, so, like,
yep. You deserve to speak up.
Yeah.
And Dayson's journey with, like, queerness that's, like, actively unfolding has been so...
How she's outwardly
awesome
expressing herself.
Like, I've been watching them for, like, a long time now. And watching Dayson, like, grow... Not that she was ever, like, not confident, but, like, grow into a new level of confidence
yeah.
is so inspiring. Like, I just love that whole family, honestly. And Caleb and
Caleb
Brittany.
Awesome.
I love watching them just be friends. And, like, I kind of have, like,
that.
A parasocial relationship with them, but I don't care. I love them. I love everything they make and do. It's just awesome.
Well, it just makes me think of what I have in my life type thing. And it's like, we're all capable of finding people like this in our life.
We have a lot of people like that. It's comparable to me because they're fucking funny and, like, they love each other, and, like, it does remind me of our friend group. So I'm glad that I just love them. Also, Caleb's commentary on everything going on with Trump, like, on his Instagram stories has
he's
been
a funny
so
bitch.
Nice. Like, the way that he's being serious enough, but still, like, casting a light of humor on it yeah. has been comforting to me. So thank you, Caleb, because I know you're watching. Thank you so much.
Any other
I did write my Trump closer.
Yeah. We'll close on that, and then we can say my quote.
This was really on my brain. I think we did a good job with this episode not making it completely about the inauguration yesterday. But I will say, like, as dismal as things look, there truly is always hope. And, like, it's very hard not to, like, just remember that we're all punching up. You know what I mean? Like, we're all looking side to side at each other like we're fucking idiots. And, like, every Trump, everyone who voted for Trump, I do think that that was a fucking dumb ass fucking thing for you to do. I don't respect that choice.
Like, there was no benefit.
But I'm leaving space for you all to realize that you did dumb, and to circle back and realize that, like, this is not for you.
This, like, I mean, embarrassed, whatever, however you feel like that, or you think that, like, it's, you can always change your outlook. You can always change your perspective. You can always continue to learn and, like, listen. Just be willing to listen. You are so, like, there's, yeah.
And that's the most respectable thing for y'all to do at this point, is to change your fucking minds and say, I'm sorry. But for all the queer people that are watching, which I know that's a lot of y'all,
pretty much everybody,
it is so brave for you to continue just being you. Like, that at this point is an act of protest, to just be yourself. So take care of yourself and keep doing that. Like, if you can just, if you need to take the space to quit looking just to continue being a queer person,
yeah,
that is the work. Like, I know, like, you don't get to choose to stop being queer, but, like, openly queer and openly living a joyful and creative life, that is a form of protest for you to face this adversity and do that. And it's the same for, like, all marginalized people. Like, if you're a woman taking these steps, if you're a person of color that is, like, proudly speaking on your experiences and, like, what your people have been through.
Yeah, you're not going to just be quiet and, like,
don't take this shit laying down, is what I'm saying, essentially. Like, your existence is a form of protest.
You're allowed to just be you.
And fuck them.
Yeah.
Fuck those people. Fuck Elon Musk. Billionaires are not for you. If you're somebody who stumbled across here and doesn't already know that, take that away, that billionaires are not for the working class, no matter who you are.
Why would they ever be?
Think you are, they are not trying to help you out.
Why would they care? Why would they? It literally makes zero sense.
They're using you to build their own wealth.
Because it's easy.
They want to see you work to the bone, to your death. They don't want to see you have anything. They want all of it. That's why they are billionaires. Do it that way you will. Because if you're a caring person, you don't keep $1 billion.
You want to share your wealth. You want to help take care of other people.
To everyone. Taylor Swift, I hope, is not actually still in billionaire status. I've seen her giving out those. But anyway, you have a quote.
Yeah, I do, actually. It's pretty recent. I was talking to Austin. And I had said, I can't remember what I said. So, like, out of context, this is going to be, like, really, really good. Okay. All right. So this is from whatever Sunday was. I don't know. So Austin Bowman. Oh, I love that. Gonna look like my little bruised banana. Pardon. Actually, bruised little banana.
That makes me. My brain went dirty. Obviously.
Yeah.
But it makes me think of, like, that line in Waves with Kacey Musgraves and Miguel. I'm gonna bully that thing. Baby, lights out. I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean I'm gonna bully that thing? That? My little bruised banana.
You made me think of it.
What was the context? Milk.
Oh, your brain. Come on, you're gonna milk that. All right. I told you I didn't remember the context. That's why it was even better. I had said something. Like, I was getting ready to eat, or I was talking about something. He was like, in response to what I said, oh, I love that. Gonna look like my first little banana. And he meant a banana. We had one left, and it was pretty fucking bruised, and it was little. And he ate it.
I hope he texts us and tells us. I don't even know if he watches these, though. Austin?
Sometimes he does.
If you're here, if you got to this point, let us know. And I love you. Yeah. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. We're fucking back. Moody Musing is back.
Ah, 2 weeks. And I approve this message.